was devastated when my hairdresser rejected my hair. Rather than appraising my locks with his caressing touch as he usually does, he kind of flicked at the ends, fearful that my hair might come alive and devour him. It was as if my hair had suddenly stopped being alluring and become threatening, possessed by evil forces. After all, my hair is imbued with special powers. It's different, unique even, because you see, I have Japanese hair.
It is different.
That's Mayu.
I do like my hairdresser to be Japanese because I think they know my hair.
And that's Arisa. And all three of us have really thick Japanese hair.
How much you put on to perm, or how much you might put on to dye, or what happens when you cut it in a certain way, I think it's different.
I'd have to agree with Mayu. Most Japanese or Asian hair is stronger, with twice the diameter of a typical Caucasian hair, and able to withstand a weight of 100 grams per hair, compared to around 70 per one Caucasian hair. Japanese hair looks glossier because it's porous and retains more moisture, making the dark pigment in the medulla shine. And the follicles are round, so hair is typically straight, but can also grow perpendicular to the scalp, even defying gravity. So is it any wonder we prefer hairstylists who know our follicular idiosyncrasies? Most women have a special relationship with their hairdresser, and in my case, my hairdresser is even more special than most, and famous. He's my uncle, Kenji, recent recipient of the Emperor's Medal of Honor for services to hairdressing. And as you might imagine, my uncle is dapper, handsome, and wickedly stylish. He can wear a bright fuchsia scarf and make it look heroically heteromasculine. I've always been a little infatuated with my uncle, and he with my lustrous locks. My uncle Kenji was my first real hairdresser. He gave me my first hairstyle. He gently eased me out of awkward adolescence into fledgling womanhood with this feminine feather cut, a kind of soft focus flicked back Farrah Fawcett do. Some years later, he gave me this androgynous, spiky Annie Lennox style. Then there was that time he aggressively Grace Jones'd me with a jet black flat top. Walking down the street. I've never had Grace Jones's body, but I did have her hair, and I reckon I looked pretty amazing. And that's what good hairdressers do. They're like the mirror that reflects the amazing, the gorgeous hidden within, because they... Oh, shush! Because they believe in the power of hairstyles to transform the self. As my mother always says,
孫にも衣装髪形ち.
This is an ancient Japanese proverb, which means even a peasant can be transformed with a nice frock and a decent haircut.
Oh, and then I went through a phase of it, long hair, but I had it braided. It used to take like 8 hours to do in the hairdresser.
And then I've also permed it and made it a bit curly. I think at the time I liked it, but looking back...
And then I decided that by shaving my hair, I could look arty. So that was what...
Like many women, my life stages seem to coincide with my various hair incarnations, especially hair mistakes. Not my uncle's doing, of course, like the turgid perms of my early adulthood, and of course the blonde phase, which unsurprisingly coincides with my first doomed marriage. To quote Jim Morrison, some of the worst mistakes in my life were haircuts. I mention this because hair is more than just follicle shaft and crowning glory. How you wear your hair is about how you see yourself and influences how the world sees you. So hairstyles wear you rather than the other way around. You just have to lose it to know how much hair defines you. And in many cultures, hair itself is considered to have potent, even spiritual power. Especially black hair.
Her loose hair entwined around a young branch by the east wind, and in the west a rainbow, so small yet radiant.
Long black hair from the earliest written documents we have in Japan was considered a sign of beauty, but it's also a sign of virility, fertility. The young woman has this attractive power, if you will.
That's Professor Gary Ebersole, scholar of Japanese history and religion. And I spoke to him about how youth, beauty, and the gods are intertwined with long black hair.
Not only does it attract the male gaze, but it also attracts the kami, the gods, the spirits that inhabit the Japanese islands. When you go to a Shinto shrine today, you can see young shrine maidens. They will often have flowers that they wear, a little headdress on top of their head. This is linked to ancient Japan and this idea of the women being able to attract the deities.
Describe your hair. It's past my shoulders, so it is long. It's probably to my chest. And
it's nipple length.
Nipple length. I like it. And it's heavy, it's thick. It's black, the natural black hair. I guess hair itself is slightly primitive and, you know, I guess it can be sexual.
Arisa has the kind of hair that the Japanese kami would go crazy over. It's lush, reminiscent of abundant harvests. And in the evocative language of Japanese onomatopoeia, Arisa's hair would be described as fusafusa, like a breeze caressing verdant vegetation, dense, opulent, flourishing. Long black hair cascading down the length of a kimono is an iconic symbol of beauty through the ages. But women's loose hair has another potent meaning in Japanese mythology and culture.
We have texts from the 17th, 18th, 19th century in which women's hair is associated with the plague. And if a woman has her hair down and a kami of the plague sees it, he will come. And that means disease is going to be coming into the village. So there were prohibitions about young women leaving the house with their hair down. When you talk about kami, they have two different aspects. You have the nigi tama, which is a soft side, and then the ara tama, which is a rough and threatening and dangerous aspect. Hair has to be controlled because this power, this energy, is potentially dangerous.
Remember the movie The Grudge? It's a Hollywood remake of the Japanese horror film Ju-on, in which a vengeful Japanese female ghost with disheveled hair scares the shit out of unsuspecting Americans. In the visual lexicon of Japanese horror, long, loose female hair is code for uncontrollable, transgressive, otherworldly forces. The Ring, remake of the Japanese Ringu, is another film with really, really scary black hair. My black hair, my thick, thick black hair, my wild hair, its thousand strands, my heart, disheveled, torn apart. I have to admit that my hair is not quite what it used to be. It's mostly a battleground where a never-ending root war ensues against those pesky greys. My hair is no longer shamelessly luxuriant and beguiling like Arissa's, but thick and unruly. Rather than safsa, my hair is bobo, reminiscent of unpredictable squally winds gusting through overgrown weeds. So you could say that rather than attracting the soft kami or spirits, my hair now attracts the rough, threatening kami. And I suspect that's how my Uncle Kenji sees my hair and why my last haircut was unceremoniously brutal. He just grabbed all of my hair in one hand and lopped it off in one swift scissor action, transforming me into a suburban Kawasaki housewife, minus the frilly apron. My disembodied ponytail looked as stunned as I was. It's not just that the frumpy salad bowl bob did nothing for my self-image, but I think I felt domesticated, regulated to fit society's prescription for what a woman of a certain vintage should look like. After all, we're meant to have tamed hair, like a Japanese court lady's elaborate updo. But I prefer to be untamed, unleashed, to let my hair down. So, I'm declaring an end to the root wars and no more hairstylists, well, for now. I'm rejecting the fusafsa and embracing the bobo in me. And this is not just another feminist protest against the cult of youth, but it's just me accepting my natural, authentic self. I think I'm developing a Susan Sontag look, a swoosh of foxy grey that I tell myself makes me look really, really sexy smart. If silver-haired Tony Jones can be the thinking woman's stud muffin, what's to stop me? Well, what do you think?